This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW. And there has been a lot of talk about the challenges facing school districts today. And if we can summarize it and put it into just a couple of words, is they don't have enough money. And I'm here with Ben Grief, who is the campaign director for Evolve California, who's backing an initiative that's going to do something about the fact that schools don't have enough money. Now, Ben, you're part of this grassroots organization that's trying to raise more money for public schools. And it involves something called Prop 13 and a split roll. Well, I think if you ran into anyone who said Prop 13 and a split roll, they'd say, tell me more. I don't understand it. So what does it mean?
Well, thanks so much for having me, Carol. So what our organization is working to do is to support the Schools and Communities First initiative, which will be on the November 2020 ballot. And what this initiative does is it changes how we reassess large commercial properties. What it doesn't do is change anything about residential property taxes. So homeowners, apartment owners, apartment renters, home renters, folks that live in senior centers, you know, mobile homes, Airbnbs, vacation homes, anything like that will not be changed at all under this initiative. What this initiative does is generate over $11 billion a year in revenue for schools and local communities by establishing regular reassessment of non-residential commercial property.
So we've had Proposition 13 for a long time. And why did you look at the taxation of commercial property and say, I don't think it's fair?
Well, currently, California is very unique in how it taxes commercial property. You know, you look at the rest of the country, and they do regularly reassess their non-residential commercial property. And if we're able to do this and succeed in November of 2020, then we're going to generate billions of dollars. And this is revenue that will only continue to grow in property taxes that is desperately needed for schools and local communities. And when you look at it, commercial property does certainly get away with not paying their fair share when you look at specific examples of properties that have not been reassessed for 30 or 40 years.
So you have a situation, and I'll set it up for you, where you've had a commercial property, as you said, 30 or 40 years, they haven't sold it, and they still have that same tax base as they had, you know, when grandma and grandpa were buying whatever that product is. Now we have brand new businesses coming in who have to pay taxes. And on the same shape and size of property, they're paying a lot more taxes, aren't they?
Yeah, they certainly are. You know, right now, the way our commercial property tax system is set up is it really benefits these legacy commercial properties that have owned their properties for decades. It does not benefit the new commercial property owners. And it's really important to note that of the over $11 billion in revenue that this initiative will generate, nearly 80% comes from just 8% of commercial properties. That's because most commercial properties are currently paying at or very near market value in property taxes. Think the Salesforce Tower or other commercial property owners that have purchased their properties in the last decade or so, and compare that to a Disneyland or Chevron, both of which have owned their properties for well before 40 years ago, and you see a huge inequity in how they're taxed.
So I'm looking at the commercial property that may be on the street where I shop. Are they going to be reassessed?
So our initiative regularly reassesses all non-residential commercial property that is worth more than $2 million. So small businesses that own their own property that is worth less than $2 million will not be reassessed. In addition, the initiative also gives a $1 billion tax break to small businesses. This comes through eliminating the tax on business equipment for small businesses, which is a cumbersome tax and a perfect example of how, because we don't have reliable money through property taxes, we as a state have had to shift to other forms of revenue.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW. And joining me is Ben Grief, who is the campaign director for Evolve California, that is working for an initiative on the 2020 ballot that will change how property of large commercial businesses is taxed. So who's for it and who's against it? A lot of people may not quite understand, you know, split roll or Prop 13, but they look to see who are those organizations that have studied and said, you know, I think this is a good idea, and also who's against it?
So the who's against this is a much shorter list. The folks against this are the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, other anti-tax advocates out there, and generally people that don't believe that our schools and public services deserve any more money than they're already getting now.
They might push back and say they might deserve more money, but don't tax them for this.
that is true. Our coalition is very broad and is made up of groups like the League of Women Voters or the California Teachers Association, the California Federation of Teachers, the SEIU, as well as the California State PTA. And we're building endorsements all the time, because, and the reason that we do have such a broad coalition is because there are so many people out there who believe that our schools and our local communities need more money for our parks, for our roads, for our libraries, for our health clinics, for our senior centers. There are so many ways in which we need to critically fund the things that we all rely on, and this is the fairest and most stable way that we can do that.
Well, let me be a little bit of a devil's advocate here. And sometimes people say, if you touch Prop 13, it's sort of the end of the world. It's the camel's nose under the tent. Once you make this change, you know, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. So how do you respond to that?
Well, that's just not true. There's no organization out there in California that is thinking about changing anything regarding Prop 13 on the residential side. Prop 13 for homeowners is what made it so popular, and it remains popular today. What is certainly not popular is the fact that large commercial property owners are simply not paying their fair share of property taxes, while folks like you and I are asked to pay more and more every year in the form of local tax increases, the parcel taxes, the bond measures, the local sales tax increases. And with Schools and Communities First, this is a way to generate billions of dollars of stable, reliable revenue without increasing taxes on individuals and small businesses or homeowners or home renters.
So another question. A lot of times people say, okay, you're going to raise taxes in my community. But if you only raise taxes in my community and keep all that money in my community, then rich communities get richer and poor communities don't get the money to pay for their schools. What have you done within this initiative to say, oh, wait a second, we thought of that?
Well, that's a great question. And what we have in our initiative is the 40% of the money going to schools will flow through the local control funding formula. And that will ensure that the school districts that need the revenue the most certainly get their fair share. However, I will say that all school districts will see an increase in revenue. But we certainly have an equity lens in mind when we talk about increasing funding for our schools.
So when you use that term local control funding formula, it means that 40% of the money that's raised goes to the state, and the state then distributes it, and it distributes it to school districts based on the needs of the kids in those school districts. So school districts that have more low-income kids, more English language learners, more foster youth, those school districts get more money because those kids cost more to educate.
That's absolutely correct. And I would say the other 60% of the revenue does stay within the county of origin.
So let's close this down a little bit and see if you can answer a question in one simple sentence. What is the split role and how does it change Prop 13 and why should people support it?
People should support the Schools and Communities First initiative because it generates over $11 billion a year of reliable and stable revenue to fund our schools and local communities without increasing taxes on individuals, on homeowners, or small business owners.
I'd really like to thank Ben Grief to coming and talking to me about the Schools and Community First initiative scheduled to be on the ballot in California in 2020. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.